Blog Talk Radio.
St. Patrick's Day, we did do the interview with Patrick Butler, a great Chicago, Cook County, Illinois, real journalist for about the last 50 years. We've known each other that long also. Went to school together, although he was a few years ahead of me. And this is Irish Week, in which we will continue the celebration into next week. We have to edit down the interview we did yesterday with Patrick. And some new information, some relevant information about that case that just closed in New Jersey regarding Tyler Clementi and I think his name is Robbie, his roommate, students at college, where there was this cam video secret illegal taping. And the kid is facing, he is not a U.S. citizen, he's an Indian citizen. This is going to be interesting because there is a bilateral treaty that the United States has with India where he can be transferred to the Indian prison system and serve out his sentence there if it is upheld. He hasn't been sentenced yet, but he could be facing up to 10 years. I would be surprised if they gave him probation and deportation. This is going to be really interesting because his father has a business over here. I don't even know if they're citizens. Some interesting things. This is my country is appropriate also for those of Irish ancestry who have served in our military. We've had in music, we've had Patrick Gilmore. He got overshadowed. He was a bandmaster and in composed marches. He was overshadowed by John Philip Sousa, who's ethnicity was his mother was German and his father was Portuguese, and he was a bandmaster in the U.S. Marine Corps, and he wrote the only military march for a newspaper, the Washington Post March, one of his early marches. Unfortunately, the Washington Post marches to a different tune these days. Maybe that'll change. Anyway, and also it was a paper, one of the few papers in the country that was founded by a person of Jewish ancestry, Meyer, and his daughter took it over, and she converted to Lutheranism, and she went to work for briefly out here in California, the San Francisco Chronicle, which was another papers started by two Dutch Jews. I don't know if they practice, but this is one of the political fallacies that only all the media is controlled by Jews, people of Jewish ancestry, and it's a canard. It's not true. The Chicago Tribune was started by a Canadian from Nova Scotia, Medill, Joseph Medill, who also met Abraham Lincoln. The LA Times was started by a Confederate from the South. The Hearst papers were started by George Hearst, who was from Missouri, made his money in mining. Then the Annenberg, I think, started the Philadelphia Inquirer, and then, of course, the New York Times, which was started by a German of Jewish ancestry, the Adolf Oaks, O-C-H-S, and they've anglicized it, some of them, to O-A-K-S, and then Sulzberger. But the Irish, they I think we do have one paper, the Copley, if I'm not mistaken, and one other paper out here in California, a series of the Bees, the Fresno Bee, the Sacramento Bee. There's also a book that has just come out on Wild Bill Donovan. He was the Wall Street lawyer. He was Irish ancestry. He, in World War II, President Roosevelt had him start the Office of Strategic Services, the predecessor to the CIA. There is a connection to the Steve Neri case, who was also of Irish ethnicity, although his mother was German, Dutch, and Native American Indian. I think Virginia Tidewater, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the connection to the Steve Neri case is one of the Isabella Horton Grant was... she worked for the OSS, and she later became a probate judge here in San Francisco and handled the probate of Juan Pifre, who we will deal with in another week, because this is the 16th anniversary of that night of infamy, March 23rd, when Juan Pifre went out looking for a young white boy in the military, and he stalked, probably drugged, lured, and raped a young 18-year-old sailor who had no experience with this type of thing and was unsophisticated, to say the least. But some of the other things about the Irish that they have served well in our military, we talked about this earlier Wednesday, that Irish have gone to other parts of the world, in South America, to France. There was one of the two of the presidents, Marshal McMahon, after the Franco-Prussian War, after they threw out, or Napoleon III abdicated after his misadventure in Mexico when they tried to set up Austrian Grand Duke, Archduke Maximilian or Maximiliano and Carlotta as Emperor and Empress of Mexico. And he did this while we were involved in our Civil War. And then, of course, as another connection to the Steve Neri case, these connections is like a tapestry with threads. Worn threads, to say the least. Not Zapata, but he came along later. But Juarez was the first president of Mexico to have Native Indian blood and ethnicity, and he defeated Maximiliano, who was later executed. Then we had the Irish in our armed forces here in America. Many served on both sides in the Civil War. And then, of course, the famous New York Regiment, the Fighting 69th, and probably the only military chaplain, Father Plunkett, has a statue erected to him. And then after World War II, Cardinal Spellman of New York became the head of the military chaplain corps. Quite a bit of Catholics who were chaplains, and there's new controversies about them supposedly having to be compelled to perform homosexual lesbian marriages. We'll see where that goes. There was this horrible rape, I would call it a hate crime, using the interpretation of how this law, this superfluous law, was enacted, and which dates back to the time of Caligula. Incidentally, on this day, Nero, who succeeded Caligula, died. But they were... Caligula was a pervert. He was one of the Julians. And horrible things, made his horse a consul and raped his sister, did a lot of horrible things. And he came up with a way to deal with the Christians who were enemies of the state, political, in his view, political and theological dissidents. And he said, it's not enough to make them die. We have to make them suffer before they die. And this is, I think, the origin of the so-called hate crime. But there's this... It used to be that the Ku Klux Klan had this nativism, this hatred toward Jews, blacks, Catholics, and foreigners. And they had their heyday in the north, as far north, up here north, is in Indiana and Michigan. But now the question is, are we seeing a revival of this thinking in Wisconsin with this horrible ad that was taken out in the New York Times? We'll get into that later next week. But the Irish have really contributed to the country. And then, of course, there's this great marching song, Gary Owen, and it's we've taken this out of our library, and I think it's appropriate to play because it's very popular. And, of course, those who saw the movie They Died With Their Boots On, about General Custer, and there were a lot of Irish in that I don't know if you'd call it battalion or division, at Little Bighorn. And, of course, Custer was very rash. He was known as a horse killer. He was from Michigan, and he almost flunked out of West Point. And, of course, this movie was romanticized with Errol Flynn, but everybody loves – people who love military music love this song and this march.
Song. Oh, we can dare and we can do, united men and brothers too, their gallant footsteps to pursue and change our country's story. Our hearts so stout have got us fame, for soon 'tis known from whence we came. Where'er we go, they dread the name of Gary Owen in glory. Our hearts so stout have got us fame, for soon 'tis known from whence we came. Where'er we go, they dread the name of Gary Owen in glory. And when the mighty day comes round, we still shall hear their voices sound. Our clans shall roll along the ground for Gary Owen in glory, to emulate their high renown, to strike our false oppressors down, to stir the old triumphant sound with Gary Owen in glory, to emulate their high renown, to strike our false oppressors down, and stir the old triumphant sound with Gary Owen in glory.
Some people thought he was Scotch. If you've ever been to San Francisco, if you're planning to come, you're going to run a ride the cable cars. And the inventor of the cable car was born in 1836, Andrew Halliday. In fact, where the cable cars start to go to Knob Hill and that is called Halliday Plaza. And then there was another Harrison Ford, who was born in the Midwest, 1884, an actor. This other one, I think, was born in Illinois. And then one of the Catholic Church has been slammed, part of it's justified, about supporting Hitler and the Nazis during in the Third Reich. However, there were many priests and bishops and nuns who openly opposed Hitler, and I have something screwed up on the computer. Sorry about that. And one of the most famous was Cardinal Count von Galen. Graf was German for count, and he was an aristocrat, and he openly opposed Adolf Hitler and got away with it. Among the other birthdays today was Mike Mansfield from Montana, who was also ambassador. He was majority leader, Democratic Party in the U.S. Senate. and was also named ambassador to Japan after he left the Senate. And poor, suffering Pat Nixon, who is of Irish or was of Irish ancestry, she was born today. Leo McKern, who used to play Rumpel of the Bailey, but I think it was a solicitor, not a solicitor, but a barrister. But he's probably best known for the role of Cromwell in the movie A Man for All Seasons, when he played the lawyer who railroaded Sir Thomas More. And, of course, Cromwell later lost his head. Also, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, writer. He was worked in the Nixon administration. He was born in Hell's Kitchen, New York, Irish ancestry. And he was also, I think, ambassador to India. And India will come up later in the program. One of the greatest opera singers. She's dead now. She was Protestant, born in Vienna. Christa Ludwig, and her husband was Walter Berry. Great voice. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to get some of the stuff out of the archives. We've got about 2,000 archival records in which we use at Western Public Radio and KLW and elsewhere. U.S. Associate U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was born today. She recently recovered from, I think, pancreatic cancer, which was quite an achievement, medically speaking. And among the deaths today, Nero died in 37, and there's a myth about him playing his lyre while Rome was burning. This was called the first urban renewal effort. That's rather a cynical approach to it. Great movie with Peter Ustinov, who incidentally, his mother was, he was Russian, like Pushkin, but his mother or grandmother was from Africa. Very interesting. Famous Baroque composer, medieval composer, Pergolesi, died today. One of the greatest of the Russian composers. He was also, I think, in the military briefly, and he died young. Modest Mussorgsky was gay, and he did his most famous opera is Boris Godunov, and he was a compatriot, contemporary briefly, of the great Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, who was featured in our Amicus Veritas YouTube site of the Russian sailor on the Pallada. And you can go to AMICUSVERITAS YouTube and look up Pallada, Russian sailor. And Andrew von Zalemsky, another Jewish composer, was born today. We also have J. Austin Chamberlain. He was the father of Neville Chamberlain. He died today, 2 years before the infamous Munich Pact that his son got conned into by Adolf Hitler and Mussolini. We have a great guitar Italian composer, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, Jewish ethnicity. A lot of guitar music. He wrote a lot of guitar music. Then a famous black singer who died in the arms of Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell. I think she had a brain tumor, and she died. And a lot of they were part of that great Motown group of singers, the Supremes, and all those people. Then we had T-Bone Walker. He died today. The founder of the European Union, or one of the people who promoted it, foreign minister, I think, or economics minister in the De Gaulle government, who was Charles de Gaulle, incidentally, was Irish ancestry. Jean Monnet, he died today. Arthur Godfrey died on this day, and I think he served in the U.S. Navy in World War I, if I'm not mistaken. Among the events today, in 1190 in York in England, the Jews were told you would be baptized, and they decided to commit mass suicide. I don't know if it's the film Ivanhoe. I may have forgotten. Also, for people of Filipino ethnicity and the Spanish influence and American influence in the Philippines, Magellan reached the Philippines, and he ended up being killed by the cannibals and eaten. And we have by a guy named Lupu Lupu, a street named after him here in San Francisco, and we'll get into that because there's a multi-million dollar HUD financial real estate scandal involved with that. And then getting back to the Irish, in 1690, Louis XIV sent some troops to Ireland to fight the Protestants, and of course that's where we get the Irish who went back with the French after the defeat to France, and they're known as the Wild Geese. On this day, also in 1792, this later became a Verdi opera, but they couldn't perform it under this name. There was an attempted assassination of the Swedish king Gustav III, and Verdi wrote an opera, but was banned until he changed the title, because they didn't want to encourage assassination of political leaders and monarchs. Excuse me. And in 1882. For the second time, the U.S. Corps of Engineers was founded, and we have another Irishman, of Irish descent, General Philip Berrigan, who gave me a rare interview. He was general in charge of the Army Corps of Engineers, building the American section of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and also he was the deputy commander at Normandy of the Mulberry Bridges. And we have an interview with him, and he was from Boston, I don't know if we can call him Boston Irish. And another one who has contributed, he went to West Point, worked with General Patton, and he died out here in San Francisco many years ago, and he worked on the Clean Water Program, and we'll play his interview again. Then in 1827, the first black newspaper was founded in New York. In 1830, getting back to the Brits, Scotland Yard was set up. I think it was called Scotland Yard because the Scots used to come there. I believe that. I'll correct that down the road. And then, get this, and they might feel this way today. In 1861, Arizona Territory voted to leave the Union. But I think it wasn't a state then. But I think Lincoln kept them under control, and they weren't going to join Texas. And then this gives manure another name for manure. The first fertilizer law was passed in 1871. In 1882, Congress signed an international agreement to set up the Red Cross. 1912, after the Russo-Japanese War, President William Howard Taft from Ohio, who succeeded Teddy Roosevelt, he planted the first cherry tree. It must have been quite an effort because he had this big gut. Incidentally, he was the first governor general of the Philippines when after the Spanish-American War, and he weighed 300 pounds, and the animal rights, animal welfare people were concerned because when he got on a horse, they thought it was cruelty to the horse. 300 pounds, and he had to build a special bathtub in the White House for him, and he had his cows up in a pasture behind the White House. And then we had a Canadian-U.S. Migratory bird treaty. I guess we didn't shoot down one another's birds if they crossed the borders. And then Hitler, after he became chancellor and president of Germany, appointed this international banker, Hjalmar Schacht. He was in the docket at Nuremberg, but he walked, which is interesting. The others got hung, or like Rudolf Hess died in Spandau prison. Also, in 1933, Hitler started, in violation of the Versailles Treaty, started German rearmament. 1955, Ike approved atomic weapons. In 1968, we had the infamous My Lai Massacre, and that was one of the first of the military trials involving military personnel who killed civilians, and so it's relevant today because of this horrible incident in Afghanistan involving this army soldier. And then, get this, and this may face this guy Robbie because he's not a U.S. citizen. John Lennon and Yoko Ono were served deportation papers. I don't know how they got out of that. And then this is a big mistake. In 1978, the Congress approved the Panama Canal Treaty, and now the Chinese control it, and we're going to have a hell of a time. Although I must say that historians have looked at that. When Ferdinand de Lesseps, who built the Suez Canal, was successful with that, and Disraeli managed to maneuver and get British control and ownership of it. Later on, Nasser tried to nationalize, and there was this war down there, and Eisenhower refused to be drawn in. But Ferdinand de Lesseps, the French engineer, tried to build a canal through Panama. He did not deal with the environmental problem of the mosquitoes who carried yellow fever. Whereas the Americans came in, and so it was a failure. So the Americans came in, and the canal was built in the wrong place to begin with. They've always talked about this, but because of some diplomatic shenanigans, TR wanted to split off or was involved in the splitting off of Panama from Colombia. So they went along with the canal there. But we may have to at some point build a new and bigger one, and this is going to be interesting and very costly at this point. We'll end today, we're talking about the Irish. My favorite, I was asked to play this again, Tipperary, where is it? Flute to the Irish and the Russian version. So here we go. And poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown? I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here comes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
I've been
now.
It's Politics or Poker. Well, this is Peter Paul Brazzola. We'll be back Monday at 4 o'clock. And we'll hopefully have excerpts from Patrick Butler's interview, which is about an hour and 20 minutes. Good night. And Aaron, go bra. And I hope you enjoy that Irish soda bread, corned beef, cabbage. And I hope it doesn't rain on your parade.